The Serial Entrepreneur, brought to you by Startups Magazine. A podcast bringing you leading businesses and founders who have a story to tell and explain some of their biggest challenges.
Try not to be too hard on yourself. Like, I meet so many founders who are like, you know, I should have done this, and then the pandemic happened and I didn't do this. And you spend so much time like second guessing yourself when really mistakes will happen. Like, we're human.
It really does improve over time, and I think sometimes when you're starting out, you kind of almost expect yourself to have, you know, super high standards from the start. You know, you want to do your best at the start, absolutely, but you're never going to be perfect.
Plus, share their biggest secret, their favourite breakfast cereals.
My favourite cereal is an Australian cereal called Nutri-Grain.
Rice Krispies.
It's pretty boring. Weetabix.
I have a clear winner. It is Cocoa Pops.
Hello and welcome to the Serial Entrepreneur podcast. Today I'm delighted to be joined by someone I'm sure most of you know, Zach Dez, who has not only built up a huge brand and following, but is also an entrepreneur, photographer, podcaster, author, and more recently founder of Dreamweaver, a multi-faced creative agency. Zach, your talents are endless. It's such a pleasure to have you on with us today. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me. It's always strange when people are reading out like all the different things you've done. You almost sit here and think, oh God, am I really that good?
You can really tell a person with by their reaction once when you start reading out the list of their accomplishments, and you know whether they're like quite like humble and like proud of themselves, or if they're like, yes, that's me. And so you passed the test.
Fantastic.
Before I start asking you all the serious nitty-gritty questions, it is called the Serial Entrepreneur podcast for a reason. So we have to ask all of our guests, what is your favourite breakfast cereal and why?
You know what? When I saw the questions come through and I was looking over them, I sat there and I started asking myself this question, because the thing is, I used to be a morning person and I used to get up really early, which meant that I had time to have cereal. And then sort of later on down the line, more recently, like I was getting up a bit later, which then meant I'd like skip breakfast. But now I've started to find the time again to actually have it, because I'm getting up now at like 7 a.m. I used to get up before that, but 7 a.m. now I get up and I have, it's either like avocado on toast or something like that. Or my favorite cereal to have is the strawberry crisp with the dried fruit in it, the strawberries, and then it's got like the clusters of oats or whatever. That for me is my favorite. I absolutely love that. I don't know why. Like, I even like it when it's got the raspberries in or the different fruit, but that for me is my favorite.
Surprises me. It's because they're both quite healthy options. So yeah, I feel like they are really great choice. To be fair, great choices, but yeah, very healthy. Wasn't what I was expecting at all. So again, a great start. So for people that may not have come across you before, let's start from the beginning. Obviously, I was reading all up and all about you, and I was on your LinkedIn as you normally do. And I believe you started in photography, but kind of where did your business journey start? How did your adult kind of life start?
Yeah, it's always an interesting topic for me to look back on and try and understand, because I think when you're in it and you're doing it, you don't necessarily look at it and think this is the trajectory that I'm going on or this is where I'm trying to go. You're just doing it. And for me, I was quite lucky because I discovered photography from a very young age. Like, I think I was still in secondary school around the time that I sort of had like my first camera. And that sort of transpired with me all the way through to when I then was doing my exams. I did exams in photography instead of doing them in art or fine art. And then it got to a point when I was trying to figure out like what I wanted to do and what sort of businesses I was trying to, you know, start up or the direction I wanted to go. And like, I knew I wanted to have my own businesses, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then I sort of noticed that there was a mark, because this was sort of around the same sort of time that you had like influencers coming up and that whole, you know, time where it was more about image and people trying to build their own brands. So I ended up becoming quite good friends with a few people who were on TV, with where it'd be like reality TV, or they were in the public eye with sports or entertainment, music, whatever. And so what we did was then they'd do their sort of, you know, main job of just living their life or going and playing professional football or sport or whatever. And then I'd follow them around with the camera and take the images, which would then be posted out and put on their social media, which was really fun because it then gave almost like that third eye or a behind the wall glass screen look for viewers to be able to see what, you know, all of these different people actually got up to off screen or off the pitch or whatever it was. And then off the back of that, I was having a conversation with a few of them who were footballers and things like that. And they came to a realization that they wanted to start careers and they wanted to do things, but they couldn't necessarily do it because of the nature of their jobs. If you don't look like you're, if you're a footballer, let's say, and you want to start a side hustle of a fashion brand or a foundation, or you want to start any other business that isn't you playing football, you're going to have people who are fans of the club turning around and saying, oh, well, you need to be focusing on football, or you need to be doing this, or you need to be doing that. And that was what a lot of people were afraid of, was that if they didn't look like they were committed to essentially what was like their main source of income or their main job, that it was going to distract or take away. So people started to set up these businesses and need someone who was going to manage their brands. And because I was already following them around and understood their image, their demographics, the people that they were attracting and all of those kind of things, they then built a relationship with me of trust first and foremost, where then they said, okay, well, this could work in a good way. So then it went from me just taking pictures of them to managing their brands. And, you know, I think that then for me was how it started to build and gain traction from just photography into actual business. And the relations that those connections brought me was life-changing.
The kind of lifestyle from the people that you were meeting in the photographer through the photography then kind of inspired you into the next step. So from there, had you always known then that you wanted to kind of start your own business and build your own personal brand?
I think it was clear for me, even when I was at school, people used to say to me, oh, you've got this sort of ability. Like, I know that I'm very much a people person. And I think that that worked in my favor because it meant then that there was a real understanding from other people of me as a person and what I was trying to do. And I was just easy to get along with. And I think that that transpired well on social media because then people felt like they knew who I was, which then, you know, in turn, does it make it easier to sell product and concepts and things and ideas and businesses to people? 100%. So that all of it sort of worked out and went together quite well, which I'm grateful for. I think I knew I wanted to have a personal brand, but I didn't want to be in a position where I was as big as some of my friends, let's say, or I was in a position of having all those eyes on me because I saw both ends of the coin. So I was seeing the great effects and the benefits and everything that it was bringing them. But I was also like, you got to think about it this way. As humans and as people, we're not hardwired to be emotionally available to, let's say, 40,000, 80,000, 100,000, million people that can all have an opinion on us and voice that directly through social media or through one medium. Like, it's just unheard of. If you think about filling up Wembley Stadium with people and then every single one of those people having an opinion and being able to physically reach out to you, that's a lot of people. And I think as human beings, like, once you start seeing both ends, you realize that it's something which, if you can avoid, is always the better option, which is why for me it was more a case of trying to stay away from having like a massive personal brand and instead trying to build one that was based on substance and creativity, but it was targeting the right people. That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So would you consider yourself an influencer?
You know, I think when it comes down to things like influence, you could ask the question, well, what even influencers and people that call themselves that, like, we all have influence. If we have a group of people who are following us, or we have a network, whatever it might be, we all have influence and we all have the ability to influence people. What we do as individuals is, you know, inspire those around us, friends, family, strangers, whether that be from how you dress, what you eat, you know, your lifestyle, whatever. I think in the traditional sense, or the more modern sense of the word influencer, I don't look at myself as being someone that people probably sit there and look up to or think, wow, da, 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 or pay much attention to what I say. Because for me, all I'm doing is I'm just sharing my business, or I'm sharing my journey, or I'm sharing parts of my life or whatever. Like, there's not one part of it that is essentially brand new or different from what's already been done before by anyone. But I'm just doing it in a personal way. So I think that in that respect, for a lot of people, it's just something completely different. And also, I feel like it's a bit refreshing as well. So to answer your question, do I consider myself an influencer? I think not in the traditional sense that people are, you know, hardwired now to look at an influencer. But I think that I try my best with the platforms and the reach that me and the businesses have to just use them in a positive way. I think that's probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah, definitely. So how did you build up such a big, you know, brand and a solid kind of like platform? I mean, there's obviously your social media following, which is big, but then there's also your brand itself. And that's kind of a separate thing, isn't it? And you've kind of cracked both, really.
I had this conversation with a couple of people even quite recently, and I said to them that one of the beauties of what we've managed to achieve hasn't come from the brand, so to speak, but it's more so come from me, which I think, again, you could probably say is being a little bit big-headed. But like, I don't reinvent the wheel. I'm not doing anything that's completely different or that's, you know, people aren't necessarily going to have seen before in their life. But the difference of where I'm doing things is that I'm doing them in a personal way, which is through me, myself. And I think that now people look at it and think, oh, well, this is a little bit different, or I'm not used to this. I think when it comes down to the actual core influence of how we've built the brands and the reputations and things like that, I would say 99% of it has just come down to the honesty that I've managed to build, but then also the people I've surrounded myself with at the same time. So, I mean, when you look at, you know, footballers, entertainment people, being in the right circles and things like that, I wanted to build my brands and reputations around being trusted by the people in society that were at the higher end, as opposed to it being people who were just everyone. You know, the services and things that Zach Dez Brand was offering at the time were only available to sort of people who were either in the public eye or ultra high net worth individuals. And I think that the reason I wanted to target them specifically was because I knew that they were the ones who were... The problem is when you're working with entrepreneurs or people who were doing things for the first time, at least this was the problem that I faced when I was still new to the business end of things, was that you are essentially trying to lead people who don't necessarily have experience in business. Whereas if you're trying to assist with projects from people who are either super wealthy or in the public eye, they've kind of already done it before, most of them at least. And so you are just bringing fresh ideas to the table, but you're still learning things as you go. So that was sort of how we managed to do it with regards to building things up. I think it was just based on trust, but it was also based upon me, myself, and the honesty and everything else that I managed to deliver from, you know, my followings. I remember I just used to share everything with my days. It just used to be stuff I got up to, what I was doing, meetings I was having, people I was meeting. So I think because people felt like they came on this journey with me, it led them to sort of have more of a belief and a trust in me and the business and all of these kind of things, which in turn, I guess, has paid off pretty well.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so what does the Zach Dez brand consist of? You know, I've seen, obviously we've touched on the photography, you also host events, you've published a book, you help other people kind of build their brands as well. So tell us kind of like everything and anything to do with it and where your real passion lies.
Well, I mean, what we did actually was, so I think it was at the end of last year, when the pandemic happened, I knew that it was time for me to almost try and go a different way with it, which is obviously where Dreamweaver came about. But all of the things that Zach Dez Brand was sort of built upon was to create a business that everyone who necessarily wanted services at that top end of the market could access. Like, we weren't available to just anyone and everyone. We were doing stuff with Apple and Hasselblad and Hublot and You know, we were doing work with really big name, big brands, and we were doing stuff with footballers and celebrities and things like that. Like, you know, the markets and the demographics that we were targeting were at the higher end. But at the same time, I think a lot of people looked at what we were doing and then sort of saw, okay, the creativity was allowed to flourish because you were being trusted by these people to deliver on campaigns or to deliver stuff in your style. And a lot of the time people wanted to work with us because they wanted to work with me. And so, you know, we hosted events with Apple. We did campaigns for a range of different photography companies. We did Fashion Week so many times, more times than I can count and remember. Like, we did so much stuff, but it was all done of a nature that was just to create and inspire. And I think that the great thing about Zach Dez brand is it was just true. It was honest. It was a good representation of media. And it was definitely a time in my life that I look back on and think that was, like, you know, a solid point, because everything which the brand built was just based upon being trusted by people who at the time, at least still to me to this day, had no reason to take a gamble and believe in what I was, you know, because to them, they probably looked at it and thought, this is insane. Like, I can probably hire someone who can do this all for me and it's going to be less of a headache. But, you know, a lot of people trusted us and gave us the opportunity to do this. And, you know, the skills which I learned in time of doing the business just transpired in such an amazing way that now I look at it with such fond memories. And, like, I'm happy that we helped work on some amazing campaigns, because then it's led on to us being able to, you know, open Dreamweaver, which is like the new big business and like my baby at the same time, but one which I'm just looking forward to it growing and developing in so many different ways.
Yeah, well, I'm super excited to hear about it. Let's talk about that now. It's called We Are Dreamweaver, technically. Is that the business name? Yeah. And that's kind of like the latest notch on your entrepreneurial belt. It started in you kind of launched it in January this year. So tell us a little bit more about it. What's the vision and the goal here?
You know, it's interesting, because even yesterday with my girlfriend, we were having a conversation at dinner where we were talking about it. And I said to her, you know, because she said to me, like, what is the actual goal or where you're trying to take this? Because, you know, one thing which we try and do is not talk too much about business or work. But I think the thing when it comes to Dreamweaver and what we're trying to do with it is different, because it's taking all of those skills. And it's almost like a marriage, because it's all of the skills and developments that we've made at one end of the market. And then it's taking everything from the creativity side of things and the business side of things that we've developed. It's merging everything together and offering it to anyone who wants it. So we basically have taken the best in video, in photography, in campaign building, in marketing, in development, all of these different things. And then I'm saying to people, if you want it, you can get that, you can get the services, you can get everything from this one company. So as opposed to it being available just to the high net worth individuals or the people at the top end of the market, we're now offering everything to everyone. And I think you know that you can trust us, because though it's a new business, what we have done is not new, and we're very seasoned and well established in our own markets. So you're getting access to people who have worked at the top end and who understand every single aspect of it at an affordable price, and to sort of create these bespoke packages for our clients. And I think we've definitely found our angle in the market, I want to say, because now what I've realized is that we have found it. And it's a community as well. The business is a community. That's why it's called We Are Dreamweaver, because it's more than just me. Zach Dez brand, although we had an amazing team that worked on the company, like the brand itself was being carried by me. Dreamweaver can stand on its own 2 feet because it's a completely different business, but it's also one which I think touches a lot of people, because it's just like they look at it and they can see what it does. And it's, you know, I try not to have my face. You go on the website and there's a completely separate page which is about the founder, which is, you know, stuff to do with me. But everywhere else on the site, there's no mention of me whatsoever. There's nothing to do with me. And it's just all solely on the business. And again, when I launched it, we were inundated with inquiries from people who wanted to work with us, which was fantastic. And that sort of really honed or brought home for me like why this business was needed. And I think what we've realized is like we have a great videography team, and I say to people, go and have a look on our website because you'll see some of the amazing photography and videography that we've done, and we've got so much more coming up. But we really understand property, and we understand everything when it comes to like really, really top end property. Like, you know, there's homes that we've done that have been 40,000 square foot. Like they're bigger than department stores and on Oxford Street, some of these homes. And, you know, we understand how they run, how they operate, the people who live there, the architects, the developers, the builders, all of these companies have brands. And so what we want to do is we just want to clean up and work with all of them on their new developments and build Dreamweaver so that it eventually, my dream for it would be to take it in a direction where Dreamweaver can have developments, it can have an interior design consultancy firm, it can have all of these other things added onto it. So it is creative in every sense of the word. But for the time being, we're just trying to break into that market and also to establish connections within it before we then sort of jump the gun. But like I say, the business has done really well considering it's only been around for like 3 months. You know, we're working on some incredible projects, and the team that are working on it at the moment are doing a fantastic job because we just get inundated with inquiries. We get stuff come in, and hopefully we're going to be doing a project in a couple months' time with Cambridge University. We're doing, you know, amazing things. There's even companies that are from abroad that want us to come abroad to come and shoot stuff with them. We're doing stuff with kitchen manufacturers, luxury kitchen manufacturers here in the UK, shooting real estate property, creating websites for businesses, events, so much. And I think that for me is where I get the real joy and enjoyment and excitement, because it feels to me like we are progressing and pushing forward into something where people can really see the results of and notice the difference, because we're going to start doing case studies as well. So people can look at, you know, where a business was at before they started working with us, what we did, and then the return on investment that they've received due to it. So there's so many different things, but I am excited to see where it does grow. I mean, if this is in 3 months, who knows where we'll be at the end of the year, fingers crossed.
I was going to say it's insane, obviously, the timescale and how obviously much and, you know, how the response has been in such a short space of time. It's incredible. Why do you think that there has been such an incredible response? Why is there so many people kind of like jumping on there? And what kind of makes We Are Dreamweaver different from other creative marketing agencies?
You know what? I think, without it sounding too arrogant, I think it was the fact that people had access to the services that we delivered that they couldn't access before. People couldn't access or get, you know, really in with what we were doing before any of this. And now they could. This was their way in. And so for a lot of them, they looked at this and said, this is finally our chance. Our business wasn't big enough, or our idea wasn't big enough, or our budget or any of these kind of things wasn't big enough before. But now we can actually break into this in a new way. And so when they saw the company and they saw what we were doing, they turned around and said, okay, finally, this is our chance to work with them. And I think that was why the second people looked through the site and saw the things, and they saw that there was no real like eligibility that you had to necessarily meet or a criteria, they just said, right, this is our opportunity. So we just got inundated from the moment that we launched. And it was at that moment that I knew that we were onto something good, and I knew that people were going to enjoy what we were doing, because it was just so, it's unique in its approach to things. Because I only really tell the guys, I say to them, if we're going to work on a project, we have to work on a project with people who are going to allow us to have 100% creativity. So it's not a case that you're going to come and work with us and then turn around and say, oh, you know, this is the exact brief that you guys need to follow. A lot of our clients, they'll say to us, like we had a dream client, a client we're working with at the moment, who literally said to us, we're going to go on holiday for like 4 months, and we just want you to build us a new website, start some events for us, do this, do that. And, you know, just send us a Zoom link and we'll have a meeting once you've built some ideas and we'll tell you which one we like. And that was it. That was the brief that we were given. And it's things like that where your creativity can just run freely. in creating the best stuff for your clients. And I like the name because I think that, especially when you think about what we're doing, is that a client will have a dream and we will then weave that dream into reality for them. That was why it was so essential for me. And I feel like it's all come together in such a lovely way now that it resonates so well with business owners, with entrepreneurs, with established brands. Everyone now looks at it and I think really appreciates what we're trying to do.
I love that. I know, obviously, you've just clicked now. That's why it was called Dreamweaver. So I love that little anecdote there. I want to talk to you a little bit about your podcast as well, which I know, obviously, we have done as well. But kind of bringing it back to what we were talking about at the beginning, I was listening to some of your podcast episodes, and one was entitled, I Really Dislike Social Media. Straightway really caught my attention. And I think the first line or the second line, you literally say, it's ironic that the guy who likes to post and has such a big following dislikes it. But that was my first thought, you know, why, how? So maybe you can share with our audience, I mean, I obviously have listened to the episode, but maybe you can share with our audience, like you obviously did in your podcast, why you also dislike social media, but also how much you think we need it in today's world and how much businesses need it.
I think it's essential. It is essential. You know, a digital footprint adds so much to a business's reputation and credibility as well. If I go on or I meet a business or I see something and there's no social media, I don't get worried, but I feel like it's almost like a layer that then is missing from business if it's not there. And I think that, you know, one of the great things, obviously, with Amelia's podcast and what she's talked about as well is the importance of having a personal brand. Because if you've got a personal brand and you've got 10 employees working in a company, you've got one company, but then you've got 10 employees and all of them can build their own personal brands to then help pursue or push that brand's reputation much further than it could just do on its own trajectory. So there is that. The problem that I have with it is that I think that the narrative and, you know, all these other things, which, I mean, literally we could sit and talk for hours about, is just the problems where I think social media has issues. When you think about the narratives and the way it's designed to keep users hooked, and even the way that we as companies use it to market product or event services, you know, or business to people based on screen usage, demographics, tracking their behavior and manners when they're on websites and things like that. When it comes down to social media, I think my relationship with it is the case that it is called social media, but yet it's so anti-social because 99% of the time people are sharing a snippet of their life that is so far-fetched from what is the actual reality. And I think that there's so many things that you see with regards to the mental health and things like that, that for me, I sit there and go, we're talking about it being social, but it's not social at all. And I think until those narratives start to change, I post on my stories, I'm active on that front. And then, you know, as a photographer, I like to take images. So I'll take photos here, there and everywhere. But then I won't then sit there and post all the time. I'll be sitting content, like I just snap my life or share my life. But if I didn't have a business, or if I didn't have, you know, the businesses that I do, or, you know, need social media in order to further those developments, I wouldn't have it. And I think that's the key thing which I say to people, is that there's a reason I'm on there and there's something which I'm doing. And, you know, my dream is that eventually at some point I can come off it completely, and that I can sort of just have a quiet life that isn't with any social media or online activity and things like that. Of course, you know, you could argue the same way that we have websites and things of that nature. Oh, do we need to necessarily have Instagram and things like that? And maybe Instagram and all of those platforms have become the new websites in a way, and the way that we interact with business. But I think that I still want to have that level of just peace of mind from it. And so once a time comes where I can step back and remove myself from the picture and just have a footprint there, or just have, you know, an image there, and there's no need to maintain it or to push for anything in terms of a business or to drive traffic, then for me, I'll know that my time of it has come to an end.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think, like you say, Instagram has become like people's websites. That's the first thing I do is I would like Google someone and I'll look for their Instagram first rather than their website. I went on your Instagram before I went on your website. I went on your We Are Dreamweaver website from your Instagram, which I think is also really important, isn't it? To have your business, like you say, within the profile so that people can move on. So, yeah. But in terms of the podcast then, it's on a bit of a hiatus at the moment. I know we touched on this, me and you, previously. But, yeah, how did that kind of come about? Are you bringing it back? I mean, I really enjoyed some of the episodes. So, yeah, talk to us more about the podcast, Tim.
Oh, my goodness. The podcast was a massive hit. It did really well. And I think the reception that it got and the fact that people really enjoyed it as much as they did, to me, that was when it really spoke volumes, because I said, yeah, this is like, it was a new medium that we hadn't explored before. But the thing which people didn't realize with the podcast was that, well, for new listeners at least, the idea of me having a podcast had been floating around since 2018. And since then, basically, we had people who were like, where is it? Where is it? We need a podcast. We want a podcast from you. Like, you know, there was just a lot of talk about it. And I remember we were in a position of negotiating a deal to have it. So because, of course, you know, it was part of a brand. So I sort of saw it as being an opportunity for us to try and make some money and to do things in a way which was going to be quite beneficial. And I remember we tried to negotiate a deal. We were talking with Spotify and Google and Apple to try and secure like the rights of a season to do it. Because we didn't, like, this is the thing, when you do podcasts, and especially when you do them on big scales, like, you require a team, editors, this, that, the other, it's a lot of stuff. And I just wanted as much of it to be done by a team as possible. So we did. We spent a lot of time negotiating that. It fell through. And then 2019, you know, it sort of just went very quiet. And then 2020 hit, the conversation started again. And then we realized towards the end of 2020 that it was the right time. And then come 2021, we did it. And so with regards to people asking, you know, will it come back? I think it will come back, but it has to come back at the right time. I don't want to, we actually did, a lot of people don't know this, but we actually did go to try and record some episodes for season 3. And we announced that season 3 was going to come back and we were going to do all this stuff. But then I sat and I listened to them, and to me, it felt a little bit forced, but it just didn't feel like it was what I wanted to put my name to. And so I said to the guys, I said to them, this doesn't feel like the right thing for us to be doing at the moment. So we shelved it. And I think that once I can comfortably look at the project and say, yes, I'm happy for us to put that out, or yes, that makes sense for us to do, until that moment, I am sitting with them saying, don't worry about it. Like, we've got other things to focus on. And when the time is right and when we feel like it's the right time, then it will come back and we'll be able to do everything and hopefully put together a great season. So I guess in a short way to answer your question, I would say, though it's still in existence, it hasn't gone away, but it hasn't come back yet. So it's not gone for good. Never say never, but we're not in a rush to bring it back.
Yeah, I love that. I love when people, entrepreneurs, founders can say no, or can say not right now, the time is not right. And it proves that you are doing things for the right reasons and that you are being really real and you're not just doing things for the sake of it. So I love when people are saying no, the time is not right. The last kind of topic I want to bring to you, which I think is quite a big one, from a personal and both business perspective, what have some of your biggest challenges been?
See, this question, when I read it on the sheet, it's a big question. I've been very open in the past about my relationship with alcohol and sort of choosing to sort of go teetotal and not to drink and to sort of change my life in that respect. I think my biggest challenges personally have been to overcome that, but then the rewards that that's brought me in terms of how I felt, how I live my life, how I feel about myself, all of those things have gone like up tenfold just because of those small changes I made in my life. You know, I've said to people, and I've had so many conversations with people, even people I don't know, just based off me sharing that experience. And I think going through that has definitely helped me, you know, learn strengths and ways of dealing with things which I wouldn't have known otherwise. So it essentially was quite essential for me to go through that, as difficult as it was. I think that through everything in life, I always say to people, a loss is never a loss, it's a lesson. And so, you know, regardless as to how something turns out in your life, it always teaches you. And it's down to you whether you make the same mistake twice, whether you do it once and it changes your life, whatever it might be. I always say to people that you can't look at things as being, oh, this happened and now this has completely ruined my life or whatever. You have to sort of look at it as a loss isn't a loss. It's a lesson and it's a teachable moment. In business, there's been so many. There's so many mistakes which I've made or things I've done. But that's because, you know, it's like when your parents would say to you not to press something or not to do something and you do it anyway because you want to see the reaction. I remember being like 3 years old and my mum telling me not to put my hand on the iron when it was on because it was hot. And I still put my hand, like, thankfully I don't have any thing. I put my hand straight on the iron, the bottom of the iron, and it was on, it was hot. It burnt me, but that was because I didn't want to listen to the fact that she was telling me and she was warning me. I had to learn the hard way. And I think in business, sometimes we do things the same way, that, you know, we have to try sometimes and experience or learn things in a difficult manner just to understand and just to get to a point of realizing, like, oh, that's why we shouldn't do that. So, you know, sometimes people say to me, don't work with friends or don't, you know, those things in that respect. I did it a couple of times and then, you know, we nearly ended up having to take people to court because of the fact that they were starting to abuse relationships and, you know, things like that. I think in business, my biggest challenge to date, the far the biggest one, has been to take chances on myself and to bet on myself. Because although I am my biggest fan and I'm very confident myself, the problem that you have is that you never know how something's going to be received. And although you can have all the confidence in the world and the belief that what you're putting out is going to be great, you might put it out and it might be a flop. And you always run that risk. It's like when people talk about it, I don't get it, but sometimes people say to me, oh yeah, I'm going to post on Instagram. They'll post and then afterwards they get this anxiety after they've posted. And I say to them, well, I don't get that when I post, but I think it's probably quite a similar thing when it comes down to business, is that, you know, you don't know how something's going to be launched. So you put it out and then you just get major anxiety wondering how it's going to be received or what people are going to think or all of those kind of things. That is, for me, the biggest thing, is taking a chance, taking a bet, investing on yourself. Though it's the easiest thing to do, it's also the most difficult because, you know, I've seen it time and time again. And I'm sure if people have been watching The Apprentice, you see a lot of people will have terrible ideas, but they back themselves with such incredible belief that no one else can tell them no. And so they believe that they'll never lose or go wrong with anything. And it's in the same way with business too. You know, I have such a strong belief in the ideas and the concepts I'm putting forward, but you never know how they're going to be received. So you do sometimes have to listen to the feedback. It's the same. Even just yesterday, I said to a friend of mine, I said, can you send the Dreamweaver website to 10, 15 people in your contact list and just ask them what they like about the website and what they change about the website? Because I'm always now trying to look for ways for us to always move forward. I don't want us to ever be in a situation where we get comfortable or we just stagnate or we just go still or don't bother to try or put any effort in anymore.
I thought the side note that the Dreamweaver website was incredible. I thought it was really different. The like look, the color scheme, I thought it was very suave. I did really like that. So yeah, that's just my feedback. I think I know the answer to this question, but I am going to ask you it as my final question anyways. So if you could go back, business and personal perspective, would you do anything differently and why?
Oh my goodness. Do you know, I'm one of these people that when I, obviously we've all probably had a point in our lives when we've sat there and thought, oh, would I do this different? Would I do that different? I don't think I would. And to tell you the reason why is that I just believe that when I look at everything that's happened in my life, and I guess it's also like, I think that film's called About Time or something, where it's like, if you go back or you mess with things and you damage the way that some other things have happened later on down the line in your life. So I'd never want to mess around with the fabric of what's happened or change too much, because then I don't know if it would change other things later on down the line for me. But to tell you the honest truth, when I look at the path I've gone on, I look at it and I say every single thing that happened, good, bad, difficult, it's all happened and made my life the life I have today. It's taught me some incredible things. It's allowed me to meet some amazing people. And I wouldn't change any of it, because every single part of it has been a lesson and it's taught me some amazing things. So in that respect, I guess I can't really change or ask for anything, because it just has been an incredible journey. Again, at the same time though, do I think that, you know, sometimes I'd like to change things or go back or make changes? 100%. But can you? No, you can't, because you just have to be grateful for the fact that you've been able to live this journey and to go in this way and to have things turn out the way they have. And had they not, then again, I still would be grateful for that, because it would at least then allow me the opportunity to know that I'd given it a go and it hadn't worked. But that's okay, because I would know that, you know, and I always say that to people. I'd rather everyone give things in their life a go and know that it didn't work than to not bother try and then live in their mind with the fear of what if, what if, what if, what if, and always be wondering, oh, I should have done that. I should have done that. I just say to everyone, just give everything in your life a go, because until you do, you'll never know what could have been.
Yeah. I did think that was going to be your answer. Listening to you talking about your challenges, I was like, I know he's going to say no, but I wanted to ask anyways. And it was a great answer. So, Zach, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. You've been an incredible guest. You have an incredible story. And I really look forward to watching what you continue to do with We Are Dreamweaver.
No, thank you. It's always great when I get to share these experiences and moments with people and to be able to really, you know, hopefully provide some sort of an insight, you know, into my journey or just my mind when it comes to thinking about things, for people to be able to implement or make some changes or developments for themselves going forward with whatever ventures or things that they might be trying to create.
To influence people. I love that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
The Serial Entrepreneur, brought to you by Startups Magazine. A podcast bringing you leading businesses and founders who have a story to tell and explain some of their biggest challenges.
Try not to be too hard on yourself. Like, I meet so many founders who are like, you know, I should have done this, and then the pandemic happened and I didn't do this. And you spend so much time like second guessing yourself, when really mistakes will happen. Like, we're human.
It really does improve over time, and I think sometimes when you're starting out, you kind of almost expect yourself to have, you know, super high standards from the start. You know, you want to do your best at the start, absolutely, but you're never going to be perfect.
Plus, share their biggest secret, their favourite breakfast cereals.
My favourite cereal is an Australian cereal called Nutri-Grain.
Rice Krispies.
It's pretty boring. Weetabix.
I have a clear winner. It is Cocoa Pops.